turn the services over to Deacon Yada Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Please be seated. Yahweh's peace be with each and every one of you. The title of my sermon is The Importance of Remaining in the House of Yahweh. So today I want to talk to us about why it's important to remain in the house of Yahweh. So I was born and raised in the house of Yahweh, and that was in 95. And we used to have these white cassette tapes that we got from the house of Yahweh. And my parents would play them all the time, you know, 24/7. And I would hear Pastor a lot talk about fallaways. And I wondered what it was. And I asked my parents, what does it mean to fall away or to leave the house of Yahweh? And they gave me different reasons why people leave the house of Yahweh. But growing up, finally, I realized that one of the main reasons why people fall away is because of the inexperience to handle disappointments. And that is what I want us to talk about today. We'll talk about what disappointments is, and then I have a few steps and that will help each and every one of us to deal with disappointments appropriately so we can also remain in the house of Yahweh. Now, a lot of times people come here expecting perfection already, and then they come and get, because their expectations are not met, they get disappointed, and they begin to feel like there's a lot of things that are wrong with the house of Yahweh. This boils back down to the fact that a person's mind is not fully grounded in Yahweh. If you remember the parable in Matthew chapter 13, it talks about those who are not fully rooted in the house of Yahweh withered away. It's a person's responsibility, it's your responsibility to ground yourself fully in Yahweh. And one of the most important ingredients you will need is diligent studies. Now, you know, when you start feeling like there's a lot of things about the house of Yahweh that is wrong, the desire to run away comes in. You go into hiding. This comes often as people stop coming for services or coming for confessions because somebody hurt them. You feel disappointed that somebody says something to you or keeps doing something to you that you don't like, and you feel this person is a hypocrite and there's no need to be here or come for services. So now your disappointment is making you not to keep Yahweh's appointments, but we all got to remember that our disappointments will not stop Yahweh's appointments. This feeling, you know, when you stay at home instead of doing what Yahweh requires of you, it comes because of, you know, Satan uses that opportunity to drag you back into former lust. If you would please turn over to 1 Kefa chapter 1. And I'll read verse 14 through 16. It says, as obedient children, do not conform to the former lust you had when you lived in ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, so also become holy in all your conduct. You know, if we are still held into, if we don't fully give up the things that Yahweh has called us out from, we will begin to develop excuses as why we should leave the house of Yahweh when we get our foot stepped on. So what we need to do is engulf ourselves fully by letting go of the things that Yahweh called us out, getting rid of this Egyptian mindset, and hold on to Yahweh very firmly. You know, a lot of times people, when they run and leave the house of Yahweh, they're running to their enemy. Actually, the world is your enemy. The reason is because they're teaching the things that oppose Yahweh. So that's your enemy as a called out one. You run into your enemy in an effort to find protection, in an effort to find to hide from your problems or the things that Yahweh wants you to deal with. Please turn over to Psalms chapter 119, verse 114. Verse 114 says, you are our hiding place and our shield. We hope in your word, the law and the prophets. So the house of Yahweh would be the place to run to instead of running into the world because they have no answers there for you. Does everybody agree with that? You got to remember, when people get offended, they give all kinds of reasons why they left the house of Yahweh. They try to justify their reasons for leaving the house of Yahweh. But the peaceful solution tells each and every one of us there's never a right reason to do the wrong thing. There's never a justifiable reason to leave the house of Yahweh. There's never a justifiable reason to leave the house of Yahweh. Yahweh gives us just enough time to build ourselves up instead of worrying about what this person did or what that person is doing constantly. There's a reason why Yahweh allows this test and trials to come upon us. We see in the book of Acts chapter 14, verse 22, it says that through much tribulations and trials, we will make it into the kingdom. So it shouldn't be any surprise that you will face different things in the house of Yahweh that could discourage you. But it's up to you, like I mentioned, to encourage yourself. And of course, you use your counselors and stuff. Yahweh is only going to use those who stay and teach righteousness and practice righteousness. You know, when you come expecting everyone to be perfect and your expectations are not met, then you get disappointed. So that's what we all have to be very careful with, how we expect righteousness from people. I've heard pastors say over and over, expect yourself to be righteous. Be the righteous one. At your work areas, be the peaceful solution. At home, be the peaceful solution. Don't overly expect another person to be the righteous one for you. So, like I mentioned, there's nothing outside the house of Yahweh. The world is crying for help. I don't have to paint a picture in your mind because you know what's going on out there. You have a lot of picture in your mind. And remember why we came here. We came here to grow. We came here to become like Yahweh, and that is what our time should be fully engulfed in. So, you see the death, destruction out there, abortion and all that stuff. We could have been out there and be just like them. But Yahweh said, no, this ones will be in my house and be just like me. And we need to appreciate Yahweh for that. We need to appreciate Yahweh's calling and not abuse it. If you leave the house of Yahweh, you are deliberately abusing your calling. You ask yourself, what is it that is worth leaving the house of Yahweh for? And please turn over to Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Romans 8:35. Who will separate us from the love of the Messiah? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? And I'll jump over to verse 38. It says, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor malachim, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, will be able to separate us from the love which is in Yahshua Messiah. You have to tell yourself this over and over and over, that nothing anybody does will separate you from this body that Yahweh has called you to. Now, I have a few steps to help us deal with disappointment. The first one is go to your counselors and express your concerns and disappointments. I'm not going to say much on that because I think everybody knows what it means to go to your counselors to get help. But you can find that in Deuteronomy 17, verse 9. That is the first law Yahweh gave to go to the priests. To go to the priest, that is the one sent, but the one sent now assigns you to other priests who are under him. The second thing here is learn to forgive and tolerate people who have offended you. Tolerance, this is the ability to endure and put up with difficulties. You put up with all kinds of problems that you face at the house of Yahweh because you'll get them. They're called tests and trials. You will get them. And you're not going to escape from them if you want to be a part of Yahweh's kingdom. So you put up with these difficulties, tolerate people, learn to tolerate and accommodate people, and not let anything that they do or say deter you from practicing righteousness. The second thing is forgiveness. Now, this is not always easy. Forgiveness is one of the most difficult things for some people to do. It depends on the degree of hurt that they have gone through. You know, you'll ask yourself, why do worldly marriages end up in divorce? Why do family members stop speaking to each other? Or how can two or more workers detest each other so much to where they can hardly stand the presence of the other person? It's all because of offenses. It's all because of offenses, misunderstandings in communication. You know, when you have these offenses and you don't appropriately deal with them, it's like a poison that if you don't properly expel it out of your heart, it'll poison the righteousness that Yahweh is trying to put in you. And before you know it, you start giving excuses why you left. Satan is after our peace of mind. You got to remember that. But Yahweh has given us the peaceful solution to give us peace of mind. And that's what we got to use in our everyday life. Every day. So when somebody offends you, a lot of times you expect somebody to come and say sorry, but don't even wait for a person to come and apologize. Don't wait for anybody to come and say sorry. That is when you will realize that forgiveness is not for the other person. Forgiveness is for you. So when a person disappoints you, your expectations are not met, forgive them. Just let it go so that you can grow. And then the next point here is learn to be acquainted with grief. First of all, you have to understand what grief, the purpose of grief. You have to understand the purpose of grief, and the reason is there is to let you be aware of what's going on in your inside, your emotions and stuff. Don't ever ignore your emotions. Get help. Learn to be acquainted with grief. Like Yahshua Messiah in Isaiah 53, verse 3, it says he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And in conclusion, I'd like to say this, that one of the main reasons why Yahweh called us is to become like him. And we can only prove that we are willing to guard and keep his way if we remain in the house of Yahweh. So I'd like to encourage everybody to please remain in the house of Yahweh. And while you remain, don't take Yahweh's protection for granted. And with that, if you will, please stand. I'd like to turn it over to my friend Zephaniah Tucker.
Shabbat shalom. You can be seated. Yahweh's peace be with each and every one of you. Okay. Is this working? Yeah, it's working. Okay. All right. This is, as you can see, this is from the 18th book of Yisro, chapter 26, verse 24. Verse 94. It says, Yahweh is building his family right now. His first sons, they left their first estate. If you leave your first estate, you think Yahweh's going to turn around and offer it to you again? All the power that he intends to give you is still your sin. It's still your gain. You can get kicked out. You can say whatever you want to. But if you leave this work, it won't be offered to you again. You can come back as a slave, which would be great in the kingdom, but you'll never get this offer that is given to you in Genesis 1:26 ever again. Now, the title of this sermonette is Satan and Her Gods. They oppose, but they can't stop us. In the book of Proverbs, you don't have to turn there, I'll just quote it. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 29. It says, do you see a man who's diligent in his business? He'll stand before kings. He won't stand before the insignificant. I saw a poster one time, and it had this guy standing there, and he had a stern look on his face with his arms crossed. And he was standing in front of a, it was shaped like a bed, but it was a huge screen video game. And across the screen, it said, imagine me waking up every morning on my game. And when I saw that, I marveled at it, brother, because it wasn't talking about playing a silly video game per se, but it was talking about being focused, man. And men, I know we experienced this or seen this in one way or another, but when a man is in the field and he on his game, he on his game, and they can't stop him. Now, let me clarify this word game real quick. Let's clarify this. Okay. Word game. This is out of Merriam-Webster. And it says, having or showing a resolute, unyielding spirit to the end. Right now, we are in our trials. And yes, we are commanded to endure until the end of man's governing when they destroy themselves. But for us, But it's a little bit more that is required of us if we truly desire to stay in Yahweh's house. It's the Passover, brother. This word endure. Can we zoom down on it a little bit? This word endure is number 5278, and it means to preserve under trials, to hold fast to one's faith in Messiah, to endure, to bear bravely and calmly ill treatments. The word in is from Thayer's Greek English Lexicon, number 5056, and it means termination, the limit at which a thing ceases to be, always of the end of some act or state, but not of the end of a period of time. Now, the understanding of this is, when we feel like we're being ill-treated or going through some hardship, whatever the situation might be, put it all in the pot, we know. But in the beginning of the situation, you remain in calm, cool, collective, practicing the things we've been taught. You know, we got it going. But the pressure, it seems to be unyielding. Then all of a sudden we snap. And then we falter. And if you Google the word falter, it just means to lose momentum. Or we bend. Or we become bent. Now where I'm from, we used to use that word a lot. You know, if an individual disappointed us or we were upset at an individual, we would say, he got me bent. Or she got me bent. Or if you ever went to a relative's house and you walk in the room, walk through the door, you see your nephew, you say, hey, little Lou. And Lou got a scowl on his face, uttering words, cussing, being all bratty. And you think, man, what's wrong with Lou? So you go in the other room and you run into the parents and you say, what's going on with Lou? They say, oh, never mind, Lou. Lou is bent. Lou bent all out of shape. And you look back in there in the room, and Louie on the couch. And sure enough, Lou bent. But our goal should be not to bend, but to stay upright. Because Yahweh, he's looking for the choicest, the finest, the best. We've got to be the best in righteousness. We got to prove, since we're going to be his closest servants, that see to it that his will is done completely. We'll sit at the left hand of Yahweh, in the house of Yahweh, that is eternal, brother. Now, in the Oxford American Dictionary, because we're going to make sure we understand what we mean by this word game here. In the Oxford American Dictionary, because we ain't playing no games. But in the Oxford, this is real stuff. But in the Oxford American Dictionary, the word game means a competitive one. And you can read about this a little bit in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 25. But it's played according to rules and decided by skills, which is the laws of Yahweh to us. Strength and skills, which is in the skills we learn through the grinding and the hustling and the striving to overcome. Now is the season to put into play or to action everything we've been taught, because this is the final stage. It's the end game. And the gods are pulling and pushing and shoving. It's a fight. It's a battle. And the gods are trying to win. But Yahweh, he's the power overall. He's coaching this whole thing. He's got it all laid out, the plan. And it's an open book test, man. And if you would, open up your books to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, verses, and knowing all this, and it's in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15, it says, see then that you walk circumspectly, aware of every action, not as the fools, but as the wise. And jump down to verse 17. So therefore, do not be unwise, but understanding what the will of Yahweh is. And if you turn over just two pages here to Galatians chapter 5, verses 17. And it reads, it says, "For the lust of the flesh are against the spirit of Yahweh, and the spirit of Yahweh is against the lust of the flesh. For the one opposes the other. So be mindful and do not do just anything you desire to do." So, you see there? Desire. This is where the attack is at. So this is where we got to pivot or turn our foot from. In Amosha chapter 3, verse 11, it says there's an adversary surrounding the land. Surrounding the house of Yahweh. Think about that. An adversary? And she'll bring down your strength. This whore system. If you remember, the proverb said, don't go to the strange world, the Christian world, because you don't realize what takes place in your body. There's a hormone change, and there's a binding that takes place, and your righteousness can be subtly taken away. And you not even notice it. It's like an anesthesia. It's the abomination that makes desolate. Any part of the system, it'll destroy you. So potent, one sip and you've drunk it. Everything that's put out by the Vatican, the divining serpent is a trap. Don't let the birds be smarter than you, brother. You know, many years ago, and years prior to this call, one of my old comrades called me. And he called me boasting about his success out there, clubs he owned and things like that. And he said, "You know, I used to be the wisest one out of all of us." And then out of the man's mouth, out of his mouth, he said, "I know I'm playing a game that's designed to lose." And right about that time, that's when I kind of came in. I said, wait a minute. I said, "Jim," I said, "if you know you're playing a game that's designed to lose, well, how does that make one wise?" You see, but he was stuck, see? In Revelations chapter 13 and verse 18, it says, here's wisdom. And let him who has understanding count the number of the beast, which is the number of man, which is 666. Also in Revelation 17 tells the man has wisdom. And it says, stay away from the teachings that are brought forth from the seven hills of Rome. And time again, Yahweh says sin is the reason. He sends the truth. They reject it. So now curses they receive. And if you don't want the curses, then you better start believing. Abraham believed. And if you turn over to Acts 7, Acts chapter 7, Abraham believed. You know, when I turn these pages, sound like it's saying scripture. Acts chapter 7, verses 2. We'll start there. And he said, Man, brothers and fathers, listen to the Father. Listen, the Father of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia. Jump to verse 3. And he said, get out of your country and go and from your kindreds and come into the land which I will show you. So he came out of the land of the Chaldeans. So you see, Abraham got out of there. Now, you can say whatever you want to as to why you... I better not. Had a priest down there waiting. But I will say this. If you remember, Pastor said, anything that distracts you when he's speaking or teaching is a sin. These devices are devised to lead you away from Israel, says. One might say, you know, I use these devices for House of Yahweh purposes or beneficial things. Well, that's fine. But if you notice, 9 times out of 10, you end up somewhere else. And Yahweh's got to come on to you saying, where have you been? And, something popped up. You see, the gods are slick. And Yahweh say, give her no room. And, you know, and my advice to those that are using these devices, if you're assigned by the house of Yahweh, let me say it again. If you're assigned by the house of Yahweh, even then, you got to be diligent in the Father's business, not your own. In closing, Yahweh is building his family, a dream team that can't be beat, the Donkey's Colts. And right now, Colts say no timeout. Soon we'll enter that rest. And if we endure, we'll go out leaping like calves released from the stall, brother. You know, it's in Eliyahu's time, it was 450 prophets or Baal's prophets against Eliyahu. In these last days, there's 4,199 against one man. And guess what? They can't stop. Hey, y'all, would y'all please stand? And with that, I'll turn it over to Deacon Emmanuel. All right, Shalom.
Shabbat shalom, everybody. You can be seated. Praise Yahweh. Yahweh's peace be with each and every one of you. All right. Welcome to the second Passover. Praise Yahweh for it. The title of my sermon today is, How Do You Know You're At Your Best? Today, hopefully, what I try to do is lay a foundation to where you can gauge when you know you're at your best, okay? So for the first scripture, I'd like to turn over to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6, okay? So it says, in all your ways, that means everything that you do, acknowledge Yahweh, and he will direct your paths. Okay, so Pastor shows us what this word acknowledge means in the 18th book of Israel. That's page 331, verse 69. He says, a restored name, okay, Yahweh written, which no one acknowledges except he who understands. No one acknowledges it? What that actually means is, he who nameth the name of Yahweh, let him depart from iniquity. We are the only ones on earth who acknowledge the name. None of the 4,199 religions do in this time period. That's the number of them. There are 4,199 religions, and we are the only ones on the face of the earth who acknowledge the name Yahweh. So we see turning away from iniquity is acknowledgement of Yahweh. So iniquity. Iniquity is Greek word 458 from 459. Iniquity. Lawlessness, violation of law, wickedness. And you heard this last night from the Kahana spoke last night. He says, without law, lawlessness, not subject to the Jewish law, not subject to Yahweh's law. So you can kind of read that scripture in Proverbs this way. In all your ways, turn from iniquities, and Yahweh will direct your paths. And this is what we're looking for in this time period, Yahweh's direction, his protection, because we're going into a time period right now that is very, very dangerous, and the prophets spell it out. Everything that we're going to be going through as a family, please remember that, as a family, that's what we are a family, we're going to go through it together, and that we need each other to get through this. So what this means is we resist pushing the law aside. We resist getting upset with our brothers, sisters, or counselors, and especially pastor. We resist unlawful sexual feelings. You know, when we become a member of the Yahweh's house, we're asked to put our desires. Now, that means our strong feelings of wanting to have something or have something to occur, like getting married, having children, a job in the world, a car, whatever it is. We're asked to put that on a shelf for the betterment of Yahweh's character. That's what we're trying to attain. We are trying to attain to be like, just like Yahshua. And everything that we do, every single action, our response, everything, that's how we're supposed to be. Now, Yahshua had that mindset. Turn over to Psalms 16:8. It says, notice this, okay? Yahshua's mindset. I have set Yahweh always before me. He set Yahweh before him all of his life. For I am at his right hand. Therefore, I shall not be shaken nor moved. You won't be shaken or moved if you put Yahweh first every single time in your life. Every single time. Okay? Now, Yahshua gives us a great example of this. A great example of Psalms. Turn over to Matthew. Look at this example right here. Matthew chapter 26, 38 through 39, 42 and 44, okay? He said to them, I am deeply grieved to the point of death. Stay here and watch with me. He says, here, notice this. He says he went a little further and he fell on his face. He fell on his face and prayed, oh, my Father, if it is possible, it's possible, okay? Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I, but you. Verse 42 says he went a second time and prayed again, notice on his face, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass from me, unless I drink of it, your will be done. And this is the mindset that we must have in the house of Yahweh coming into these next plagues. Not my will, Yahweh, not mine, you. My life is in your hands. My life is in your hands. 44 says he left them again and went away and he prayed the third time saying the same words. So you can see, no matter how Yahshua felt, no matter what he was up against in his life, he still did Yahweh's will. He still did Yahweh's will. Yahshua was facing the time period where he spent most of his life preparing for, and he went ahead and did it, no matter how he felt. And he did it for the kingdom, which is us. We are the kingdom. Remember, it's not only a mindset, okay? It's also actions. So how do you know you're at your best? How do you know that? Turn over to 1 Kefa. And that's 1 Peter, if you're following along in the King James Version, okay? It says, finally now, all of you be of one mind. Now, real quick, on that note, turn over to Philippians, keeping that one mind in your mind. He says, now, this is Philippians 2, verse 3 through 5, 7 and 8. Let nothing be done by the way of strife or empty glory, but in lowliness of mind. That's being humble, to be able to be taught, not rising up and getting the attitude when you're told to do something or it doesn't get done the way that you think it should be done. Let each esteem others better than themselves. Let every one of you look out not only for your own interests, but also for the interest of others. Notice verse 5. It says, let this mind be in you. Let this mind. which was also in Yahshua Messiah, but abased himself, taking the form of a servant, made like men, being born, and being found in the fashion, appearance, and conduct like a man, he humbled himself to the law and became obedient to death, the death of the stake. Now back to Kepha now, okay? Having compassion for one another, full of brotherly love, sympathetic and courteous, not repaying evil for evil, not reviling, that's criticizing abusively, with criticizing abusively, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this so that you can inherit the blessing. For he who would love life and see righteous days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. Let him turn away from evil and do righteousness. Keep the law just like the house of Yahweh teaches. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of Yahweh are on the righteous, and he who hears, his ears are open to their prayers. But the faith of Yahweh, the face of Yahweh is against those who do evil. Now, this is how we can know that we are at our best. The effort that we put into being of one mind, fighting evil like the gods, we know we need each other to stand and to pass, get past what's on the way. Now, in closing, okay, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of Yahweh in Yahshua for you. When you're thankful, that changes everything. It changes the dynamic of everything. Because not only is that a law, but we need to be thankful that we're in the house of Yahweh, and we need to be thankful that we got his protection. Praise Yahweh. I'm glad you agree. Thank you. Because that is so important right now, to be able to get the protection that we need so we can go ahead and bring in the 2 billion and teach them and then go on to the universe. Because that's our next assignment, and that's the most important thing, is to get this sin, the deception that, of course, the Catholic Church is bringing forth, and do away with it, okay? Let's please, I beg you, keep these things in mind, because it's going to get rough. Pastor said it's going to get rough, but hold on to each other, hold on to the house of Yahweh, hold on to pastor, hold on to your counselors. I am a big advocate of counselors. Make your counselors your best friend. Make them your best friend. You're not bothering them. You're not bothering them, even though they seem busy. Remember, that's okay. All right? All right. Praise y'all. If you all please stand. Yahweh bless you, brethren. Yahweh bless you. I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker, Deacon Anthea Hawkins. Yahweh bless.
Shabbat Shalom, great saints of Yahweh, you can be seated. Peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. We want to continue on a topic here we started and bring some encouragement also, because you could definitely tell we are in the last days, right? Anybody have any questions, any doubts about that? Any doubts at all? The time period we are in right now? You see what's taking place in the world just off of one symptom, one virus. It shut the entire country, world down. It's a very powerful thing that's being allowed to take place in these last days. So this will be Pride versus Humility, part two. I want to take a closer look at our relationship, friendship, family. That's what we're going to be talking about today. Now, the last time I was showing that insolent pride, and the world used the term narcissist or narcissism. And in Yemetria, that is 666. So that's definitely not the character of Yahweh. That's the character of Satan. If you could be turned over to page 746 in your scripture. Page 746. As we all practicing the social distancing and everything, and should give everybody a little more air to breathe and freedom to spread your wings a little bit. But make sure we still got our pen and paper to take, make sure we are taking notes. So, Matthew chapter 18, and we're going to look at a parable here. Starting from verse 21. Then Kepha came to him and asked, "Teacher, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? For seven times?" You could probably tell it had occurred up to seven times about that point now, right? Yahshua said to him, "I do not say for seven times, but for 70 times seven." If you read that side note there, it said we must be continually ready to forgive and be forgiven. Yahshua said to him, "I do not say to you for seven times, but for 70 times seven. For this reason, the kingdom of Yahweh is like a certain king who wanted to bring his account with his servants up to date." And right now, Yahweh's great house, these are the things that's taking place. Yahweh is bringing these accounts up to date. And when he began to take accounting, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. This is a monumental sum. But since he was not able to pay, his ruler commanded him to be sold with his wife, his children, and everything in his possession, and payment be made. I think that's fair. At verse 26, at that, the servant fell down before him, saying, "Ruler," see, he had a show of humility here. "Ruler, have patience with me, and I'll pay you everything." Then the ruler of the servant took pity on him and let him go and forgive him his debt. Sometimes we forget where we come from. Look at verse 28. But that same servant, as he went out, found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, a very trivial amount. He grabbed him by the throat and said, "Pay me what you owe." I still can remember the cassette with the car. I said, "Pay me what you owe." And he said it when we was making these demonstrations. I want us to pay close attention to ourselves. Look at verse 29. Then his fellow servant fell down, did the same thing. He fell down at his feet, earnestly begged him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I'll pay you everything." But he would not. Instead, he put him into prison until he paid the debt. No mercy that was shown to him. Matthew 7:1 talks about the condemnation and the judgment we use, that also will be used against us. Yahweh is very merciful and long-suffering. There's a reason for that. He knows his creation going to do a lot of foolish things before we get it right. He already knows that. He doesn't have to scratch his head at some of the poor choices you see some of us are making in these last days. He doesn't have to. We do, because we are human and we're limited. But we have to get out of that human state to become men and women of Yahweh, righteous, holy beings. That Genesis 1:26 we was hearing about early on. When his servant saw, verse 31, what had taken place, he was deeply distressed and went and told their ruler all that has been done. And you can know the rest of the story here, but it shows us that here was someone being shown mercy to in the same situation, and someone who owed him even less, or her, how that person was treated. And I pointed out first, we have to examine ourselves. And this, like I said, the subtitle here is a closer look at our relationship, our friendship. We're getting ready to draw closer more than ever to Father Yahweh. And that requires a lot. You hear more of that coming today. These tests and trials we are undergoing, brothers and sisters, is for a reason. Yahweh is not playing games. Let's look at verse 6, chapter 16. Chapter 16, and we start in verse 24. Then Yahshua said to his disciple, "If anyone will come after me, then let him deny himself." That side note there, W7 to C. Let him deny himself and take up his yoke. A rule that can never be too much observed. It can never be too much observed. It can never be too much observed. Let him in all things deny his own will, however pleasing, and do the will of Yahweh, however painful. It doesn't mean you have to go hungry or you don't pay your bills. But you have to know where you stand with Yahweh. You have to know where you stand in your relationship with Yahweh. For whoever will save his life will lose it. And whoever will lose his life for my sake will find it. For what has a man profited if he gains the whole world, yet loses his own life? For what will a man give in exchange for his life? Matthew 6:33 is to seek Yahweh first. Seek Yahweh first. In all things, Yahweh always admonishes us to seek him first, to keep my law so you'll have life and live. For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father and with his malachim, and then he will reward every man according to his what? Not what just he say with his mouth, his works. Yahweh is looking for results. When you think about results, right? You brush your teeth for 2 minutes, twice a day. You're going to get some result, right? No, you're not. You're not going to get any result. Unless you brush your teeth for 2 minutes, twice a day, for 365 days in a year. Result is a process in time. It doesn't come right away. It's not instantaneous. If that was the case, Yahweh could have just waited until everything broke loose and then have some people disappear from the earth and make his family. But that's not what he's doing here. He's allowing us to iron sharpens iron, rub each other, work things out with each other. Let's go to Matthew 21. We will stay in Matthew for a while. Matthew 21. This is verse 28. Now see what you think. A man had 2 sons, and he said to his first, and said, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." He answered and said, "I will not." Well, that's rebellion. Is that not? But afterwards he repented and went. Well, if you rebel, is the repentance matter? Then he went to the second and said to the same thing. And he answered and said, "I will go, Father." But he didn't go. Well, she didn't go. Which of those two did the will of his father? They said to him, "The first." Yahshua said to them, "Truly I say to you," look at the scripture here. "Truly I say to you that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of Yahweh before you." Really? The publicans and the harlots? Who was Yahshua attending to when they wanted to throw stones? A harlot. And you say, he without sin cast the first stone. And none of them could have done that. You see, because we have to examine ourselves and our walk with Yahweh, and we have to understand that all we do have is each other. We have a teacher who is spending decades upon decades showing us, guiding us, and teaching us how to put on this white garment of what? humility. Humility. It's humility Yahweh is looking for. Could we withstand the pressure, the pain, the suffering, the belittlement? Could we withstand all of it? Could we stand our place? This is what it comes down to. I say iron sharpens iron. So a man sharpens the perception of his friends. Friends in the acceptance unit, and you can write it on page 63, deciding to be a friend. And it has stages where it's observation stage, the introductory stage, the getting to know you stage, the deciding stage. That's when we read something. The decision to build a friendship must be mutual. You must both want to be friends because true friendship is never one-sided. For example, a true friend will never expect money or gift from you for being your friend. The truth is, you can't buy friendship. If you find yourself giving away your belongings or money to keep your friend, then stop. Here's a cold fact. Anyone who expects you to buy his or her friendship is not your friend. True friendship comes from the heart. It requires commitment, respect, and concern for one another. It comes from the heart, but the heart is deceitful above all things, and what? Desperately wicked, and who can know it? So we have to examine ourselves again. We have to fix ourselves, get ourselves right with Yahweh first, not second. First. Let's go back to my teacher 18. And we got to move along a little faster now. Starting in verse 10. This is on page 745. Beware that you do not despise one of these little ones. These little ones. For I say to you, in heaven, the Amalekim always sees the face of my Father who is in heaven. There's nothing we are doing that's not being recorded or being seen. The Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. So what do you think? If a man has 100 sheep, but one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go search the mountain for that one that's going astray? Yes, it does. That's how important each and every one of us is to Father Yahweh, that he doesn't want to lose any one of us. Anyone. No matter how bad you might think you are, what you think you have done. Yahweh is the only one who is merciful to forgive. Look at his attributes. Long-suffering, patient, kind. And if it should be that he finds it truly, I say to you that he rejoices over that one. When I was reading about the prodigal son, and when the prodigal son returned, the father rejoices, but the one who was there all along, he got jealous. He's upset. But here he had everything. He was there all along. These are the things we got to examine ourselves and get out of us. Called root of bitterness. This pride, it flares up, it grows. And if it's not in check, like you've been here in the theme, one of the themes here, is get with your counselors. If you don't keep these things in check, it could ruin you and you'd be sitting right here. Or you could be sitting out there. In the same way, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. So we got to be very careful with Yahweh's creation and Yahweh's people. Because Yahweh's will is that none should perish. And Yahweh wants every last one of us to make it in his kingdom. Every last one of us. He doesn't want one of us to fail. Yeah, you're going to fall short. 70 times 7, you're going to hurt yourself. But you need to get up, back up, and get back into the work, into this plan, and this kingdom that Yahweh wanted to offer us so badly. He didn't create us so we could just suffer. Yahshua became acquainted with suffering. This is a beautiful plan that Yahweh has for us. In Isaiah 60, verse 22, last scripture. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 22. We'll stop here today. Found on page 568. A little one A little one will become a thousand, and a small one a mighty nation. I am Yahweh in its time, in its time, in its time. I will hasten this. I will do this. Brothers and sisters, this is exactly what is being done in the house of Yahweh today. Yahweh is preparing us. He's preparing a family. And we need to get our minds set on the kingdom, on seeking him first. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of Yahweh, and he will add all these things unto you. You're not losing anything. So with that, I pray that Yahweh bless your understanding. And if you all please stand. At this time, I have the honor and privilege to present to you the great Kohen Shaul Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, brothers and sisters. Please be seated. We have a lot of information to cover today. A lot of things Yahweh is showing us. We're in this very, very important time period in man's history. So please, I would ask that you write down these scriptures and follow this path we're going to take today through the scriptures, because we're very important to Yahweh. I want everyone to keep that in mind. And Pastor has emphasized this over and over. This is Yahweh's finishing work of this great kingdom, a kingdom that we can't even imagine. There's nothing that mankind ever had or achieved or could even compare it to. Even the vast size of the universe, we can't even comprehend it. And likewise, we can't even comprehend what it is that Yahweh wants to give us. Yeshua is seeing it, but he's not coming to earth right now to tell us all about it and show us selfies from Yahweh Shema and so forth. We've got to go on the same information he had, which was what was written. All right? That's why it's so important that we focus on what is written. Even in law, what is written, although they change the definitions and so forth, is what you're judged on. Nothing more. Like Pastor said years ago, the verbal words of the salesman mean nothing. It's what's written in the contract that you're going to be held to. But brothers and sisters, as we start this, and the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you, one of us, I'm including myself in that. But as we start the second moon Passover this Sabbath, let's go back and look at the first of the two Passovers Pastor spoke about in the recent weeks here in Exodus 12. Because this ties directly in with today's events that we see taking place, these prophesied events. And in course, in Exodus 12, we see how Yahweh displayed his power over the gods. Yes, the gods, they have one power, it seems, and that's the power to destroy. They don't have the power to give life or grant life or help anybody. They only have the power to destroy and to lead mankind to destruction. And as we see, the sins of the Egyptians that they were led into caused the plagues to come upon them. Like Pastor said, even if they had gone to another area, the plagues would have fallen on the people around because they also were caught up into those same sins. But we see that there was a certain factor, a certain element here that caused the last plague to pass over the houses of the children of Israel. All right, and we see this. Look at Exodus 12, verse 3. Speak to all the congregations of Israel, saying, on the 10th day of the first moon, each man is to take a lamb for his family. Now think of Yahweh here, and one for each household, all right? We are being formed into the household or house of Yahweh. So there's one lamb for one house. Now look at verse 12, and some of this I know is in the being fixed, because Yahweh didn't strike anybody down. But this plague will pass through the land of Egypt this night, verse 12, and strike down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and animals, and Yahweh's prophesied judgment will be executed on all the gods of Egypt, showing his power in verse 13. But notice here, this is the great key, and the blood will be a sign for you on the house where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when it strikes the land of Egypt. Now look at over to Exodus 14:30, and this is after they went through and went through the Red Sea and so forth. So Israel saw the great work which Yahweh had done and accomplished with the Egyptians. So the people reverenced Yahweh and believed Yahweh and his servant Moshe. So how much more should we, brothers and sisters, believe Yahweh, reverence Yahweh, and believe his servant Israel, when we've seen so many more things come to pass from these scriptures right before our eyes? All right, we should be way, way beyond this. But remember the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb. All right, we'll see this here. Now let's look at the second Passover that Pastor talked about. And I don't mean the Passover in the second moon necessarily, but it's in Jeremiah. Turn over to Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23 in verse 7. Well, let's, you know, there's so much in this Jeremiah 23, but it goes beyond this. But, it, you know, Yahweh says in verse 3, I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where they were driven and bring them back. I will set up shepherds, verse 4, over them. This is the house of Yahweh established in the last days, and who will feed them. And they will fear no more. Remember, we've been commanded not to fear, nor be dismayed, neither will they be lacking. Okay, regardless of how you personally feel, and you know, feelings are so fleeting, and they come and go for a multitude of reasons, maybe a little too long, you know, that you went without supper or something, and you start to feel something's lacking. But we're really not lacking. Everything, our entrance into Yahweh's kingdom is being abundantly supplied. Behold, the days come that I will raise to David a righteous branch. Remember Zechariah 6. And a king will reign and succeed. And Yahweh's prophesied judgments will be executed and justice will be in the earth. But in verse 7, therefore, behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that they will no longer say, they'll no longer say this. It'll be passé or blasé by then, that as surely as Yahweh lives, who brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Yahweh says that'll be small potatoes in these last days. But they will say, as surely as Yahweh lives, who brought up and led the seed of the house of Israel into the protected place at Abel and from all countries where they had been driven, and they will dwell in their own land. And there's a lot going on here, not just the gathering, but this is also the protection that's coming. This Passover that Pastor's been talking to us about in these recent weeks. All right, this Passover takes place during the worst time of trouble ever in man's history. No one has ever experienced anything like this. All right, no one's seen it. No one's gone through it. No matter what time in history they lived in, they didn't live through the worst. And it's this last 3.5 years of the 7 years prophesied by Daniel. And it's also the time that we're now in of the last 7 plagues, which ends with the great 1-hour nuclear burning. I say great, not that it's great, enjoyable, or great, wonderful, but it's an all-encompassing the earth thing here. It's huge, this nuclear burning. All right, even in Nagasaki and Hiroshima, it was only those two cities. The rest of Japan didn't get burned like that. But this is the whole earth. The earth will be burned, as Isaiah 24 said. Now, this teaching of the blood of the Lamb, you know, turn over to 1 Corinthians 11, which Yeshua knew from his earliest time of knowing who he was, that he was that Lamb, and he was going to shed his blood. He knew it. He was raised for it. He was bred for it, as we'll see, to be that sinless sacrifice that paid our death penalty. And we have to qualify for that. That's not it just covers you. Well, he died and did it all for you, as the lying preachers. But notice in verse 23, Shaul writes here, the apostle Shaul, "For I received from Yeshua." Yes, remember, he had a vision of Yeshua, or from Yeshua, and this was delivered to him by a Moloch. You can guess who that Moloch is, who taught Shaul about this very thing. Okay, this the Yeshua's memorial and the sacrifice. He received it from Yeshua at the hand of the seventh Moloch, Israel Hawkins, "That which I also delivered to you, that Yeshua Messiah, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it." And let's jump down to verse 25. That was his bread. His body was the bread, the sinless life that he led. "And when he had given thanks, he broke," in the same way, "he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This represents the renewing of the covenant in my blood.'" Okay, the renewing of the covenant, not a new covenant, renewing it, bringing back Yahweh's laws, bringing it back for the last days. Okay, bringing it back through a certain Moloch also. "This do you." So this is a command that we do this. Because if you drink this, you're automatically protected and saved. It's a secret potion. All right. Wait a minute. That was the Christian thing there. "Do this in remembrance of me." But there's requirements for this blood to pay that penalty and be able to be on your doorpost, as it were. Okay, and Shaul writes about that in verse 27. "Therefore, whoever will eat this bread and drink this cup unworthily, not intending to overcome, will be guilty of the body and blood of Yeshua." Won't be covered by that blood. Will be guilty of shedding the blood. Not only shedding it out of his body, but you're shedding it off of you. You're shedding it. You're shedding Yahweh's protection. But notice there's a remedy for it. "Let a man examine himself." Examine himself. Verse 31. "For if we would examine ourselves with repentance, we would not come under this judgment of condemnation." All right, for when we are judged, we are chastened. And remember that word judged, because we're being judged right now, and there is a judge set over us. by Yahweh, yes, this is by Yahweh's authority, that we might not be condemned with the world. That is, with this destruction coming, two things: the coming destruction of this 1 hour nuclear burning, and then the second death. We don't want to be condemned with that either, because Yahshua shows in places where you can survive the nuclear war and still suffer the second death. How did you get in here without a garment? Remember that. So it's very important to understand the repentance and conversion that it takes to have this blood covering us. Okay? So I hope we can all agree that we must obey everything that our high priest is telling us here. And this high priest is in complete unity with Yahweh. He doesn't, of his own self, he can do nothing. And as he hears, he speaks. So he's certainly speaking Yahweh's words to us. And also inspiring pastor, beholding the branch, teaching, leading, and guiding. We can all agree on this, right? Praise Yahweh. I pray that you keep clapping. And I don't mean throughout the entire. All right, now, to see a little more about what Yahshua is talking about, because we're in this last 3.5 years, and this is the most critical time, brothers and sisters, the most critical time that we get through this. And Yahshua, you know, you've seen the governor's directives and whereas this and whereas that, and therefore 1, 2, 3, 4, these are the things you got to do. Well, Yahshua is giving us directives as well, okay? And we've got to make sure we're in agreement and in compliance with these things, because as much as we love our governor and he's doing a great job, he can't give us eternal life. You know, it's not his fault. He wasn't raised for that job. And he'll have an opportunity for eternal life, I'll grant you that, but he can't give it to us. We got to follow. And keep this in mind, too, that we must follow the ordinance of man as long as it doesn't contradict the ordinance of Yahweh. And nothing we've been asked to do up to this point has contradicted Yahweh's laws, and the house of Yahweh has complied perfectly with everything that they're asking us to do. Praise Yahweh. Because Yahshua commanded that, and Yahweh commanded it, okay? That was one of his directives as well. But look at, let's see. Anyway, going on these directives here, this is concerning this last 3.5 years that's, as we said, leading to the worst time of trouble, and we've got the woes, more woes coming here. I want you to think about that word woe here. And you can see it first, and we'll look at these here, Revelation 8:13. And I looked and heard a Moloch flying, saying with a loud voice to the inhabitants, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. These great woes are coming on this earth. Oh, look over, jump over to 9 verse 12. One woe is past. Behold, there come two more woes after this. And that's where the time period gets a little stretch here, a little break. And then Pastor brought out in 11:14 here, Revelation 11:14, the second woe is past. Behold, the third woe comes quickly. And of course, in Revelation 12:12, you know, we see the source of the woe, or the teaching source of these woes, because mankind's bringing it on himself because he followed an alternative teaching. He leaned on his own understanding, didn't listen to the priest, and went his own way, thought his own thoughts, and did his own thing under the inspiration of in Revelation 12:12, "Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because she knows that she has but a short time." Well, isn't that something? The devil knows she has a short time. How many of us really realize how short of a time we got to get straight with Yahweh? All right? We got to do better than the devil. All right? And trust me, she's a hard, tireless worker at her job. But Yahweh's more powerful. Now, with this break, praise Yahweh. Now, with this break, don't be fooled. Things are not going to get better. You know, they've been getting worse steadily anyways. They think, well, this will get over and this will get better. You know, no, this first woe, this thing has really caused a lot of damage in a lot of different ways, you know, that we've been hearing about over the weeks. My point is, keep in mind things are going to get much, much worse on every front, in every area of life on earth. It's going to get much, much worse. They ease up, like Pastor said, they're going to ease up for a reason here, which we'll see in Matthew 24, but not for long. And they wind up with the worst burning, the nuclear burning, that no life, no life would be saved unless Yahweh intervened. Nothing like it. And there's only one way to make it through, and that's with Yahweh's protection. Just one last thing to emphasize, just how bad this thing is going to get here. Turn over to Zechariah. Zechariah 14. Now think of a movie of this here, okay? Try to picture a movie in your mind of what we're going to read here. Zechariah 14, verse 12. "And this will be the plague." It occurs during these last seven plagues here, "with which Yahweh prophesied in advance would strike the earth, all the peoples who have fought against the priest who teaches peace." Think about this now. You know, don't be in this situation. "All strike all the peoples who have fought against the priest who teaches peace. Their flesh will consume away while they stand upon their feet." That is some awful stuff. "And their eyes will consume away in their sockets, and their tongues will consume away in their mouths from the great heat of the great nuclear burning." And that's not the, even the, you know, this is not even right ground zero. You know, they're going to be just vaporized instantly, okay, by these nuclear bombs. So you see how much we need Yahweh's protection? Do you see how much we need Yahshua's blood to cover us and not to resist or rebel against anything he instructs us for these last 3.5 years? Now, look at verse 15. "Therefore, when you," that's in Matthew 24, 15. "Therefore, when you see the Lord of heaven, the Queen of heaven, the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, active and working, taking stand in the holy place, whoever reads," remember Revelation 1, all right, "whoever reads, let him understand." And this is a fact. He understands. All right. Now, let's quickly look at Daniel. And we'll place this here in Daniel 9:27, because Yahshua is talking about the last 7 years of man's governments. Now, It wasn't seven straight, but he's talking about the last three and a half specifically. He will confirm a covenant with Rabin for 7 years. In the midst of the week, he will cause the sacrifice Israel was making and the oblation to cease. It halted. And then he will cause the prevalence of the Lord of Heaven or Queen of Heaven, her way, ruling over the nations, governing this area, the quartet, all that's included in this. The United States, the waiver that Trump didn't sign, and so forth, the Trump's plan, all of this is included in here, this prevalence, even until the destruction that is determined will be poured out upon the desolator. This is going to destruction. You notice there's no more gaps. There's no more cease there in that last three and a half. All right, now comes Yahshua's directives. And Pastor brought this out at the feast. So 16 here through 18. Then let those who are in Yada flee to the mountain. Isaiah 2:2, Micah 4:1. Remember the mountain of the house of Yahweh. Let him who is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, nor let him who is in the field come back to get his clothes. So you see Yahshua's urgency here about getting to the city of Israel during this time between the plague 1 and 2, right? All right, enough said about that. Let's look at verse 19. And woe to those who are with child. We just read about the woes. These weren't random words Yahshua threw out there. You can't draw through your book of Yahweh, but you could draw a direct line from that word woe to the woes we just read in Revelation, because that's what he's talking about. Woe to those who are with child, to those who have nursing babies in those days. This word woe, expression of great grief, sorrow, weeping, weeping and gnashing of teeth when you say Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob enter the kingdom and you yourselves thrust out, Yahshua said. This is woe if we don't follow Yahshua's directive here. Mourning, regret, crying aloud, wailing. Now, what is it that Yahshua is referring to exactly? He doesn't like babies. You know, I remember when Yahshua said, beware of the leavening of the Pharisees. Oh, the apostles said, oh, he's upset because we forgot to bring the bread. You know, don't be like that here. We've got the explanation here coming. But first, turn over to 2 Kefa. 2 Kefa 3 and verse 15. And we'll read a little bit about our brother Shaul here, the Apostle Shaul. 2 Kefa 3:15, and recognize that the long suffering of Yahweh our Savior is salvation. Now, part of that long suffering is this gap between number one and number two. It's not room to kick back in the easy chair, it's to get it in gear. Just as our beloved brother Shaul, in accordance with the wisdom given to him by the witness, has written to you. But there's a little warning here, as in also all his letters, speaking in them about these things, these very things, the same thing Yahshua has been talking about, Shaul was writing about. Remember the blood, how to keep Yahshua's memorial. All these directives of Yahshua was Shaul writing about, which those who are unlearned and unstable twist. Well, if you don't come to the house of Yahweh and go to the priest and ask him, what does this mean? You're unlearned and unstable. All right? being blown about with every wind of doctrine, remember? Yeah, whoa. You know, you could also spell that W-H-O-A, like, whoa, stop. You know, it's telling us to stop, which is exactly what he's saying. Well, see, and twist as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. All right. So we've got pastor teaching us and explaining us these scriptures. And let's just real quick go back to Matthew 24, so there's no doubt in anybody's mind where this is coming from. Number one, he's talking about the last 3.5 years. Okay, we got that? Yeshua here in Matthew 24:15. He's talking about the last 3.5 years, the time of the last 7 plagues. Did we all see that? Yes? You can say praise Yahweh or something. All right, verse 19 again. Woe to those who are with child and to those who have nursing babies in those days. All right, now to see what Shaul wrote further on it, turn over to 1 Corinthians 7. 1 Corinthians 7. Because he was saying, whoa, W-H-O-A as well, for a short time here. In 1 Corinthians 7:25. Now about virgins, I have no commandment from Yahweh, yet I pass judgment as one whom Yahweh in his mercy has made trustworthy. He's done the same thing with his last witness, Israel. He is the judge that we go to. Deuteronomy 17:9. Judgment. We need to go there right quick. So turn to Deuteronomy 17:9. We've got to lay these scriptures upon scriptures to get this picture, this directive of Yahshua, so that we can be saved through this nuclear burning and enter into Yahweh's kingdom. I hope that's clear. He says in 17:9, first he says in 12:5, go to the house of Yahweh. There you must go. Then he says, go to the priests who are Levites and to the judge who's in office at that time. One who Yahweh made trustworthy. You know, we have nothing, absolutely nothing, if we don't put our trust in Israel Hawkins and what he's telling us to do. We have nothing to look forward to except what I read there in Zechariah 14. Wow. You know, and that's on the rich and the poor and the high and the mighty and the low. The eyes can, you know, think about that. Read that once in a while. Maybe somebody could make a video of that. You're going to see it very soon. Ask for their decision. Well, that's what we've done already by appearing before Yahweh. We were asking. Now, we really need to learn to ask. Honestly, brothers and sisters, we need to learn to ask before doing things on our own. Even what might seem to be a very simple thing. Okay? And they will give you the sentence of judgment. He says, you must act according to the sentence. You must act according to the sentence they pronounce for you at the place Yahweh chooses. Be careful to do all that they order you to do. Can't get any plainer than that. According to the law they teach you, you shall do, and pastors brought this out many times, and according to the decisions they give you, you shall do. One great decision I remember, and you can't find it anywhere in any book of Yahweh or version, is where do you get that we are to drink wine at Yahshua's memorial? You got it from Pastor. That's the only place it is. Look for it. It's not there. All right? And so if we'll do that one, we got to do them all, right? To show Yahweh our faithfulness. Don't turn to the left and to the right. And here's Zechariah 14 again. The man who acts presumptuously and shows contempt, whether in your heart, in your sarcastic comments, in your criticisms, for the priest who stands to minister in front of Yahweh your Father, or for the judge, that man will burn up. Or woman. Clear? Praise Yahweh. These are Yahweh's warnings and words, and this was all contained in what Shaul said here in verse 25. Yet I pass judgment as one whom Yahweh in his mercy has made trustworthy, like he did in these last days with our overseer. All right? No difference. Now, I think, verse 26, I think then because of the impending distress, the woes, go back and rehearse the woes and all the sermons pastors brought out about this. I think because of the impending distress that it is well for you to remain as you are. Are you married? Do not seek a divorce. Are you unmarried? Do not look for a wife. At this time, brothers and sisters, Yahweh, Yahshua, and Pastor Israel Hawkins is asking, the house of Yahweh is asking, that for this last 3.5 years, until all 7 plagues are over, that no more marriages take place in the house of Yahweh. This is what Yahshua was saying in that woe to those. That's how children come Yahweh's way. Not through fornication, adultery, and so forth. That is not Yahweh's way, as we'll see here more. So we're asking everyone to hold off until the marriage supper of the Lamb. Okay, this is Yahshua's directive. We're not teaching against marriage. Get that clear. Write this down. We are not teaching against marriage. We are actually preparing for marriage during this time. I'll read it to you. We're going to follow Yahshua's directives for the last 3.5 years. There's going to be marriages and families galore, as I'll show you, once the 3.5 years and the last 7 plagues are over, and it's going to start at this marriage supper, all according and done according to Yahweh's laws. Turn over to Revelation 19. Revelation 19 and verse 7, because something has to take place before marriages. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. Revelation 19:7. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and the house of Yahweh, remember, one Lamb for one house, all the virgins who have been chosen have made themselves ready. Brothers and sisters, we're not ready yet. All right, we got to be made ready. Okay, turn back to 1 Corinthians 7 because there's more. We got to understand Yahshua gave Shaul the whys and the wherefores here and gave it to Pastor to give it to him. Verse 32. It's all about this marriage supper of the Lamb. But I want you to be free of concern. This is 1 Corinthians 7:32. But I want you to be free of concern. He who is unmarried is concerned about Yahweh's affairs, how he can please Yahweh, how he can get ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb. But he who is married is concerned about the affairs of this world. Reference the parable of the sower, the cares of this life, how he can please his wife. And his interests are divided. And the unmarried woman or girl is concerned about the things of Yahweh, that she might be holy both in body and in spirit. But she who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how she might please her husband. Now I say this for your own benefit. But you know, as Hebrews said, you know, sometimes the correction doesn't seem joyous at the present time. Remember that? But it afterwards produces the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And if we're not righteous like Yahshua and Yahweh, as pastors trying to get us there, we're not going to survive. Forget about the getting into the kingdom. We're not even going to survive through these last 3.5 years. And that is a fact. Not that I might put restrictions on you, but for what is proper, so you might serve Yahweh without distraction. Okay, we got to get rid of all the distractions out of our life. Turn over to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 3. Just, you could circle that word proper. But if I am delayed, now, Shaul's not coming down the road here at this time. He's in the ground. This is Yahshua, remember, inspiring this. If I'm delayed, remember, the midst of 7 years wasn't 7 straight through years. All right. I write so that you might know the right and proper way, the right and proper way to conduct yourself in the house of Yahweh, who are the called out ones of the living Father, the pillar and ground of the truth. We have to stand up for Yahweh's truth that only comes through the house of Yahweh, which includes the every word of Yahweh, all of Yahshua's directives. Yahshua didn't throw out random statements and random words to fill up pages in a book. All right? Everything he said concerns our future. Now, Yahweh is offering us, brothers and sisters, a position with unimaginable power to raise the dead, create and maintain flesh. You think about that. You can create a person, travel millions of light years in a split second to another galaxy, another, you know, through a black hole and beyond, or wherever Yahweh sends us, and other abilities eye has not seen nor ear heard. Yahweh didn't even write about all of it. It's more, we couldn't grasp it with our limited conscious mind, you know, if he gave us a vision of it. We couldn't grasp it. This is what's written in Genesis 26, being in the or 1:26, being in the image and likeness of Yahweh. And what was written in Exodus 19. Yahweh's not holding marriage away from us. He's going to make sure we're ready for it, because he promised, Exodus 19:5, if you will truly obey my voice, By keeping my covenant, you shall be a special treasure. Remember, the last is the first in the kingdom. The last era, the last remnant is tops in Yahweh's family. And he says, you will be a kingdom of priests and priestesses and kings and queens, kingdom, kings and queens, and a holy nation. These are the laws that you shall speak to the children. Yes, there's going to be gobs and gobs of children galore. But when Yahweh says the time is right. For right now, we've got to focus on ourselves and getting ourselves in. We've got to prove ourselves to Yahweh. We've got to get rid out of our life of all distractions. And believe me, these distractions take us away, take our concentration away from overcoming and doing our work in the house of Yahweh, doing our work of building this city of Israel and bringing forth the kingdom. You know, it was said, I've read it, that marriage is solving problems together. Problems you wouldn't even have if you weren't married. And Yahshua, our high priest, is showing us how to not, he's showing us not to take on these problems right now. Now is the time, brothers and sisters, to work on another problem. And that's the problem you got with Yahweh right now. And don't tell me you don't have a problem with Yahweh. All right? If you didn't, we would all be perfect and we wouldn't have to confess anymore. So we all got a problem with Yahweh that we need to work out and get out of us. Who in here doesn't confess every week? You got to confess your problems. And if you don't have a problem, buddy, you do have a problem. A bigger problem. All right? We do. We're not 100% in unity with Yahweh yet. And don't fool yourself. Let him who thinks he stands watch out lest he fall. Don't deceive yourselves into thinking, well, you're already there. And you're nowhere. I'll tell you right now. And the scriptures say that. Brothers and sisters, we need to spend this time working on our overcoming, getting rid of every fault, wrinkle, and spot, working on submitting to the priest and the high priest, training for this great job that Yahweh is offering us. Okay? Including, well, let's turn to 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4, wait a minute, was it first? Oh yeah, 1 Timothy 4 and 13. Until I come, give attention to reading. That was one great thing about the social distancing feast we just had. There was a lot more time for that occupation that nobody ever has time for. I never have time to read. Well, now you got the time to read. Give attention to reading, to exhortation, to the teachings. Or as Pastor said, study, study, study. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you through prophecy, through this house established in prophecy. You wouldn't have a book of Yahweh. You'd have a mishmash of words and phrases that didn't even convey the original meaning the Creator tried to give mankind. And unless he had been leading pastor, no one else made it through the King James and saw salvation. No one else on the face of the earth except the two witnesses who Yahweh was leading and guiding. Set your love, set your love completely. Remember, all means all. Set your love completely on these things. Give yourself completely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Pay attention to yourself and to the doctrines. Examine yourself, Yahshua said, so that blood you can take of it worthily. Remember, so you can take that cup and that bread worthily. Examine yourself. Pay attention to yourself and to the doctrines. Continue in them. It's not a one and done thing. It's a continue, day in, day out. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Turn over to 2 Timothy 4:10. Demas has forsaken me. Or dumb something there. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that word right. 2 Timothy 4:10. Don't be a Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, looking for his satisfaction and his joy in this present world. You see that? Don't be that, brothers and sisters, please. This present world is dying. Now, if you're already married and have children and so forth, he said, don't seek a divorce. Don't run away from your responsibility, but work on coming into full unity with Pastor, with Yahshua and Yahweh in the house of Yahweh. That's the purpose of marriage, is not two people hanging out together, going to the movies together, whatever the world, this is worldly teaching. It's dedicating ourselves to this great work and being in unity with it, putting the work first. And even the best marriages have problems, as we just saw, that's the meaning of marriage. All right, working out problems that come because you're married. And think of Abraham. Now, Abraham was a man who Yahweh testified was faithful in all his house. Remember Genesis 26:5, Yahweh chose him because he obeyed my voice, my statutes, my judgments, and he did everything I told him to do. Well, Yahweh made Abraham till he was how old? Wait till he was how old before? I think it was 100. 100 years old before he was ready to have a son that would continue along as Abraham. Because turn over there. Let me see if I can find that again. I didn't write this one down, but... Well, he said, what Yahweh was saying there was he gave him that son, and because he was faithful, he commanded him, what more do I command him but to teach his family to walk in my ways and to be faithful and loyal all their days of their life? Because that was the family that was bringing forth Yahshua. And Yahweh took that much care, that many generations before Yahshua. Oh, here it is. Genesis 18:19, right in front of my face. Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have chosen him so that he might command his children and his household after him that they keep the way of Yahweh and do what is right and just, so that Yahweh will bring about for Abraham what he has promised, which was Yahshua, bringing forth Yahshua. So we have to be like Abraham and have our minds on nothing but this kingdom. Turn back to 1 Corinthians 7, I believe. Now, in verse 28, okay, well, he says, are you in 27 again? Well, 26, because of the impending distress, remain as you are. And in verse 28, but even if you do marry, you have not sinned. Because I know this will come back. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. However, those who marry will face many troubles in this life. And I want to spare you this. These aren't just, oh, the electric bill's due, you know, the gas ran out in the car, the tire's flat. That's not the troubles. That's some of the troubles, but that ain't the real trouble he's talking about here. He's talking about trouble getting into the kingdom, trouble becoming like Yahweh, that it would keep you from. Okay? And if we were allowed this, more marriages, and if you went ahead with this, you would be belittling your chances for the kingdom. You would be spitting in Yahweh's face, saying, Yahweh, I care about more about my self-satisfaction and immediate gratification than I do about your kingdom. And this would hinder you in your training. The woe Yahshua talked about there is the taking you away from what you should be focused on. And Yahshua is awesome. I mean, he is the example. What do I mean? He's not a great example. He's the real example. He's the example of all examples here. Image and likeness of Yahweh. Now, therefore, in Hebrews 12, 2, therefore, since we are, well, let's go to verse 1. Since we are also surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and remember, in Exodus 20, Yahweh is here, do not fear, he says. Yahweh is here to teach you, to test you, I mean, to teach us and to test us, to see if the reverence of Yahweh is with us. Okay, this witnesses. Real quick, turn to Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 8, you must remember that Yahweh your Father, verse 2, led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness in order to humble you, humble us. We've got to humble ourselves. Okay? Humble ourselves under the mighty hand of Yahweh, and He will lift us up. Test and prove you, and know what was in our heart. That's what Yahshua's words here about the last 3.5 years is all about. He wants to know what's in our heart. Is it our own selfish desires? Or is it His will? Not your will, Yahweh. Let my will be done. That's not going to last too long. Guarantee you. Okay, back to Hebrews. So let us lay aside every weight. These earthly desires and things can be a weight. And the sin which so easily entraps us. And it can lead us into sin in an instant. And let us run the race that is set before us with endurance. We see the finish line up ahead. It's not a 1,000-year race. It's not even a full 3.5 anymore. We're already into it a year, and it's going to be cut short. As it is, looking to Yahshua, excuse me, the first who was led and perfected by the faith. He let that faith lead him in every aspect of his life. He never went his own way. He didn't lead himself his own way. He let Yahweh's plan lead him. Who for the joy that was set before him. Now hold your place there and look over to Luke 12. The joy that was set before him. Yahweh is not slack about his promises, brothers and sisters. He's not trying to take away our joy. But Yahshua said here, and we're looking to Yahshua, remember, so we're going to look at what he said in Luke 12, 32. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's righteous pleasure to give you the kingdom. And we already seen the kingdom is made up of marriages, families, children, on and on for all eternity. There's no lack. We won't lack anything. Look at Psalm 16. And you think of what Yahshua went through in his life, which, you know, Psalms 91 doesn't say, with your body you will experience these things. When it said something like, only with your eyes you will look and see these things if you do what I say. Now, Yahshua wasn't like that with him. He had to suffer the full brunt of the sins of every living person that lived before, during, and after him in that one night. And he also suffered his whole life long. Harassed, criticized, gossiped about. And you know, Yahshua never criticized anyone. He exposed the religious authorities. He kindly corrected his apostles, his disciples, but he didn't go around criticizing. Pastor even said, criticism never helped anyone. He says, it sure didn't help me. And I don't think there's been anybody in the house of Yahweh more criticized than Pastor. You know, we couldn't even fit. If we had everybody here, even back from the 80s, that ever came to the house of Yahweh, we don't have room on these grounds for them. And the ones that aren't here anymore, they were criticizing Pastor and condemning him. Yahshua never did that. When he was suffering at his worst, he opened not his mouth. Anyway, that just trying to get you to see the attitude that Yahshua had was one of love. He didn't suffer grudgingly. He suffered willingly in his body. And all he asks us to do is the few simple things that he instructs in these last days. And he says, I'll make sure this won't come on you. I'll protect you if you'll repent and convert. But for the joy that was set before him, Psalm 16, you know, Yahweh is our portion, our inheritance. Verse 8, Yahshua says, I have set Yahweh always before me, who for the joy that was set before him, for I am at his right hand. Doesn't mean when Yahweh turns, Yahshua's got to run to catch up. It means he acts just like him. He does what Yahweh does. Therefore, I shall not be moved or shaken, neither should we. Should not be moved or shaken by these directives from Yahshua. Therefore, my heart has joy and my glory rejoices. My flesh shall rest in hope. For you will not leave me in the grave, Yahweh. No, he resurrected him 72 hours later. You will show me the paths of life. Yes, so that Yahshua can inspire us in these same paths. But here's the joy. In your presence is full joy. Full joy. It's Yahweh's righteous pleasure to give us the kingdom. Whatever our hearts desire, as long as it's within Yahweh's laws, He's going to give us. There are pleasures evermore, never ending, in Yahweh's kingdom, at Yahweh's mighty right hand. Now, so this is the joy that Yahshua, some of it is just a few descriptions there. It's not a full layout of it, of everything we're going to enjoy. But just to see what Yahshua only had these words to put in his mind of what was coming, what he was going to have in the kingdom. But who for that joy that was set before him in writing, he endured the sacrifice. He endured the sacrifice. We don't have to endure the same amount of pain that Yahshua did, but we might have to give up a thing or two here for a 3.5 year period, less than 3.5 year period, to be like Yahshua. Is it not worth it? And despising this world, the shame of this world, this worldly system, this worldly way, he is set down at the right hand of the throne of Yahweh. Now, in Yochanan 14, Yochanan 14 and verse 2, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If this were not so, I would have told you. See, he's not just telling them fables or puffing them up with beautiful stories and whatnot. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you will be also. Okay? Now, Yahshua had to go, and remember what Pastor said about these mansions, and, you know, Trump's mansion, he said, is going to look like a pump tent compared to what we get. So Yahshua is off preparing these, but he also has to prepare us. Remember, we read that earlier in Revelation 19, have made themselves ready. So Yahweh tells him, behold the branch. And we see Pastor working day and night to get us ready here. Day and night. Turn over to Hebrews 13, 17. Obey the pastor who has rule over you. Obey your counselors, your supervisors, and submit yourselves. For they watch over your souls as they who must give account. Yes, you know, if you think something is told to you wrong, whatever, you can always ask at the office. We'll get a message to pastor and get the answer if you think you're being told something wrong. Okay, we have the judge. Do your part that they can do so with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. That gets the blood of Yahshua off of you. And you're naked. You're not clothed in righteousness. You're not clothed in repentance and conversion anymore when that occurs. We don't want that. This whole thing is about making sure we all get through this together as a body. And something else I wanted to mention, Yahweh's pointed this out to us here back in Daniel 9. Yahshua himself did not have a wife. I don't know if a lot of people realize that. I know there's been a lot of goofy books written, you know, about the secret family of Yahshua. I can guarantee you, Yahshua didn't sneak around. And we're going to see the example that he followed, because he read these things. But in 9:26, and after 62 weeks, Messiah will be cut off without a successor. If he had been married, his wife would have been his successor, right? She would have gotten, she'd have been the next of kin, inherited his authority. We see that in King David's, in Solomon's day. He knew the widow of King David, the man wanted her, remember? And that would have given him great authority because she inherited that and he put a stop to it, all right? Abel had no wife. I'm talking about Abel in Genesis there. He had no wife. He had no children. But he was the first righteous priest and an example of standing up to his own family, his own brother, and preaching to his parents. He stood up for righteousness. Remember, the blood of righteous Abel cries out. All right? Now turn back over to Ephesians. And you could kind of hold, well, we'll quote it here in Ephesians. In Ephesians 5 and 31, Shaul is quoting Genesis 2:24. You can mark Genesis 2:24 because I know it'll be said, well, what about Genesis 2:24? It's not right to be alone. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they, according to the law, shall be in unity as one flesh. There's so much to that that we need. First, we need to get ourselves in unity. But notice Shaul explained it all. This is a great secret, but I speak concerning the Messiah and the called out ones. This is a standard, a prophecy that Yahweh is calling us to fulfill through our training, through our overcoming. So, brothers and sisters, let's get our minds on this kingdom and on this training. Let's not let the world drag us in to uncleanness. Turn to 2 Timothy 2:22. We have eternal jobs and eternal glory and eternal families waiting for us, if we'll qualify. This is why Shaul said in 2 Timothy 2:22, also flee from youthful lusts, but follow after righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on Yahweh out of a pure heart. All right, turn over to 1 Kefa 4. Yahshua 4 and verse 1. Yahshua then, 1 Kefa 4 and 1. Yahshua then, having suffered on our behalf, that we ourselves might be armed because of his suffering and cease from sin. Cease from lusting. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, if we hold on to lust for something or someone that Yahweh has forbidden to us, and this is, he's forbidding us now, he's telling us to hold off. If we lust after it, we're cutting ourselves out of the kingdom. In order to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer by human passions, by human emotions, but by the will of Yahweh. Yahshua and the Apostle Shaul, they're both, everyone said that that was plain as day there, what they told us to do for this last 3.5 years. Let us not fall into the ways of this world. Let me see something here. You know, as 1 Corinthians 6 tells us, no fornicator or adulterer, whether in heart, mind, or body, or eyes, will enter the kingdom of Yahweh. All right, so let's get this out of our lives. All right, let's follow the example that Yahshua himself followed, which was Yosef in Egypt. He was a perfect example. Revelation 2:4. Yes, nevertheless, I have some things against you because you have left your first love. What's our first love? What's the first and greatest commandment? To love Yahweh. And we'll see our last exhortation here in a moment. But Yosef, think about Yosef when he had that position in Egypt. He could have had anything he wanted. He could have had that queen secretly, probably a bunch more, could have snuck around, had a bunch of things in secret. He could have snuck around the campgrounds or off the campgrounds or to town or whatever and had what he wanted. But he wouldn't have been spoken of, and his character wouldn't have been put into Yahshua as it was, because Yahshua resisted. He resisted. He resisted. He turned down anything and ran from anything that would interfere with his work for Yahweh's kingdom, because he was there doing a work, preparing, because he knew the prophecies. Abraham knew and taught the prophecies of the children of Israel going to Egypt. And he did that work. Okay? Remember the family that was asked not to drink, and Pastor asked us not to drink. This is the same thing. And Pastor said, if I tell you to do something and you don't, you're in trouble with Yahweh. If I ask you to do something and you don't, you're in trouble with Yahweh. Okay, so let's keep these things in our mind. We don't want to be. Turn over to Proverbs 5. Wanted to get this in here. Proverbs 5. Remember in 1 Corinthians 7, Shaul and Yahshua, you know, he said this for our benefit. But if we don't listen, look at verse 11 and remember the word woe. This is the woe. And you will mourn in the end times as your flesh and your body waste away. And you will say, how I hated instruction, how my mind resented rebuke and warning from my counselors. I would not obey my teachers nor listen to those who instructed me. Now I am on the verge of total ruin in the midst of the congregation in the assembly. And Yahweh is saving us from this. Yahshua is saving us from this woe. So to close, I want us all to remember the directive that Pastor gave us years and years ago, to always say, I will remain in the house of Yahweh forever. I will not go out of my place. That's the boundaries Yahweh sets on my behavior. And I will wait on Yahweh. So let's overcome. Let's come to complete unity and wait on Yahweh. We have a wonderful, wonderful eternal life ahead of us. With that, if everyone would please stand, we'll turn the services back over for some more announcements.